Hello.
Ah! I win.
You do win, isn't it?
I do win. How you doing?
Good. I had 2 mezcalitas.
Yeah, now you're on white wine?
Yep.
I had 2 mojitos.
Hell yeah.
We're about to be fun today.
We're about to be fun.
We're about to be fucking fun.
And? What?
You had lots of fun this week.
I had lots of fun this week.
Oh my God, talk about it. Oh, okay. That is so interesting because you're about to talk about it. My name is
Dylan, and I have played 2 Mass Effect games.
My name is Robin. I've played the Mass Effect franchise 100 million times. And this is
Dorkspawn.
It's a series where we play choice-based video games like a book club. And we talk about them every week. This week, we're on Mass Effect 3. We have done the Omega DLC. One of the DLCs that I've never done. Had no experience of this DLC before going in. This is 1 of 3. The other 2 is Shore Leave, which is the Citadel DLC.
That you've never done?
Never done. It has been my most anticipated DLC since the game came out, and I just didn't have enough money because I was 17, 18 at the time.
Sure.
And Leviathan DLC. Haven't done that
one. We're doing Shore Leave pretty late.
Pretty late in.
Should we do it earlier?
I think thematically.
Because I started it accidentally. and that's not what I mean. I don't mean.
Because I've done it.
No, I started it accidentally, but then I reloaded my save when I realized that it wasn't what I was supposed to be doing. But because I started it accidentally early, I know that there is like a whole customizable
house. Yeah.
That you can spend time customizing. So that's my thought. My thought is like, should we think about doing it a little bit earlier?
We're doing like halfway through Act 3. I'm literally not spoiling anything because I know about as much as I know more, but I've not played it. I know that it's called Shore Leave because it is you invite everyone to your house for a party. The later we play it, the less people are alive. So we could play it earlier, I guess.
Interesting. Could we have invited Morden Solis to our house party?
I think he comes, yeah. Come.
Come? Okay.
I think he comes if you invite it. If he's alive during when you start it. Yeah. But then isn't. And
but he's famously dead.
Famously dead.
Yeah.
And more primary cast members are going to go before we start playing it.
This guy. we'll think about that.
So we'll think about it, but...
But what we have done is the Omega DLC.
Yes.
So you get summoned to go and meet Arya Tulok at the bar on the Citadel.
Yeah.
And you meet her.
Do you know what's so fun?
What?
This isn't the start of the DLC. What? This is just her mission in Mass Effect 3. I got this wrong. So when you're in Act 2 and you've spoken to her once, you don't need to do anything.
Right.
When you go back to the Normandy, she then invites you
to meet her at the dock.
Yeah.
But you have to have talked to her first in order to get the invite. So I still feel like, and then like after you talk to her first, you get like a little quest with her.
Yeah, to unite three. So very interesting game session for me because Shiv is going renegade almost because she used to be a gang member. That's her whole background is back on Earth. She used to be one of the big gang members. She helped out her gang in Mass Effect 1. She is backsliding into a whatever it takes mindset. A lot of this DLC, she did a lot of things that's like, yeah, fuck it. We just need to get it through.
Oh, incredible. I think then we had different runs.
Yeah, I think maybe so. I think most of what happens this run is the same, but I think there is light differences. Yeah, but
there's definitely different
uniting the three groups.
Yeah, you unite the three criminal organizations, the Blue Suns.
Yeah, the blue suns, which you just go and you just need to... No. What the blue suns, eclipse, and then the blood pact.
Yeah.
I think blood pact is you just need to do... It's just all takes place in that scene, basically.
Yeah.
Three people walk in.
Yeah.
You pretend to be captured. You pull a gun out. You shoot one of them dead.
Yeah.
You shoot two of them dead. One of them you let live.
Yeah.
I think Blue Suns is there is a... You have to convince Commander Bailey to let someone out of prison.
But then you talk to that person and she's like, yeah, you let me out of here so I can kill all of you. And you're like, we're trying to help get you out of here. Could you help convince me maybe a little bit? And she's like, no, I'm going to kill you, actually. I can't wait. Let me out of here, and I will be killing you. And you're
then
like,
Shiv said, bring it on, baby. Hey, Commander Bailey, get her out of there.
Oh, I said, absolutely not. I said, I will figure something else out.
And on the third one, there is a CSEC officer who you meet in Mass Effect 1, which I think is very fun. You meet him. He's the one who's like, he's fed up. There's bureaucratic red tape all over him.
Yeah.
And you help, you know, him turn a new leaf and like kind of figure out stuff better for himself, and then he retires. Turns out he's out of retirement. He is stopping them getting a huge weapon shipment because CSEC needs those weapons in case there's another uprising, another like attack on the Citadel. But yeah. Then all of the, I believe this is Eclipse, are like, yeah, but we're just going to give them to people to shoot at. And it's obviously like, okay, but that's obviously worse.
Yeah.
And he asks you to, if you can get a shopkeep to open up the black market to him, then he'll be okay with it. And he'll be like, all right, fine, I'll let this go. I was unable to convince the shopkeep, so I was told you have to put out a kill order on this guy. And I said, all right, fuck it.
Oh, no, I convinced him.
I put out a kill order.
Yeah. Yeah.
Things have got to start moving quicker. The Reapers are at our doorstep. Do you know the amount of Reapers that chased me in this run?
Oh,
because
so
I'm
many.
Searching stuff and I'm like, we need to be moving quicker. There is too much red tape. Fuck it.
I'm wondering if I've found a lot. I need to figure out how to check what I've found so far, because I've been searching places now recently and I'm not coming up with anything, and I am getting chased by Reapers, but I am not finding anything anymore.
And you're not like 100% on the thing.
I am on a certain places. Obviously I figured out when it says 100% you stop, but like,
But then I went to Arya and I was like, yep, all three are willing to work with you. And then she's like, great, you have an army at your disposal. And then they go and join the war effort.
Yeah.
Great.
Awesome.
Then you go back to the Normandy. And she's like, oh, by the way, can you meet me at Dock 42?
Yeah.
We got plans. And unlike in all other DLCs, it is just Shepard alone.
This is my big complaint about this, is that this DLC in particular would have been so great if this is why I mourn like the first three Dragon Ages for giving you the three party members instead of two.
Sure.
If we could even have one person that we know with us to add to the commentary and to add to the flavor of this DLC, it would literally be a perfect DLC for me, I think.
Whoa.
I think it would be a perfect DLC.
That's huge.
The fact that I am on my own feel is the thing that makes this feel disjointed and also deprives us, because there is simply so much story and lore in this, to not have my, like, someone Shepard knows.
Were you specifically thinking of Garrus? Would be so.
Well, I was thinking. I was definitely thinking of Garrus, but like, I mean, Tali is not at this moment part of my crew yet.
Yeah.
But she's around. Like, you could do this DLC with Tali.
Yeah.
Tali would be super interesting. I think Liara. Liara would be so interesting in this. Like, just like, I think that would give them so much variety. Like, it would really have brought this all the way home. And it was so close to perfect for me.
Fascinating.
That would have been, like,
sure,
just perfect to have even one person.
That's great. So that's actually really interesting, because that is a boon, I thought, in this one. Because this whole DLC, I went so renegade with Shiv because, and this is just a personal thing, but because Shiv was alone,
sure,
I was like, oh, she's just regressed back into the fight or flight. You're a gang member. Do what the gang does.
Sure. And that's fine. But okay, on the reverse side, okay, like, you are in this DLC wall to wall being pressured into making morally ambiguous and morally gray decisions to get the job done. Like, that is the thing. It pushes you harder than any other mission in any Mass Effect game, I think, to try to make you do renegade options. And we'll totally get into that, like, when we actually talk about what's happening in the DLC. If, especially playing it late in the game and late in Shepard's story, like, to have someone there
as an anchor,
like,
almost,
as either as an anchor or to push you, I think Liara would be like, yeah, do it. I think those things would be really interesting. And I think it could also be a thing where, like, you know, I'm thinking about, like, of course I'm thinking about Dragon Age and how, like, okay, like, yeah, you bring that person, but if you've been a, like, paragon person around them their entire time and then you do these things, they're like, what's going on with you?
Yeah.
If you have been renegade the entire time, then they're like, yeah, and they go along with it. Yeah, like, that kind of thing, which then, let's get into it, because that then would play upon the relationship that is portrayed here.
That's how that is. Speaking of this relationship, we're going to get into this again more later. I love this duo.
Oh, yeah.
I think that this duo is some of the strongest that
it's good
we've seen. It's just so, it's so fun. Anyway, so.
Okay.
Cerberus has taken Omega.
Yes.
Which was the place that Arya ran. She was like the leader of all the gangs. We met her in 2. She was a big point of contact for us.
Yep.
And Cerberus flew in, the elusive man tried to kill her, and then she says, I just had to just up sticks and run. And she ran to the Citadel and is now like, I'm going to take it back. You unite
the gangs.
And then she's like, okay, we have an army of people. We are storming Omega. Cool fucking setup to a mission.
Really cool.
Like, storming a place that otherwise we wouldn't be able to go to, hearing that it's Cerberus, so you have that pull of like, yeah, I'm obviously going to help you because it's Cerberus. Having you step, like, alone into a car full of, like, evil criminals, and you're like, I don't have a choice. Like, you have to take back Omega. You've got to do this.
Yeah.
That's a great setup.
It's great.
That's so fun.
It's excellent.
Yeah.
It's full mafia. Like, she's like, get in. And you're like, I guess I have.
And it's cool.
Yeah.
I think it's so cool. And, like,
it's
this
very
whole
cool
drive when she's telling you all about, like, what the plan is, saying that she's united, you know, she has this army at her disposal, and she's like, oh, yeah, we're going to storm it. I know how to get in and out. This is my space station, like, this is my city.
Yeah. And then she's wrong.
And she is wrong.
She's wrong because Cerberus has changed the defenses on Omega. So even on your way in, the ship is being torn apart trying to get in. And
so there's a fascinating thing really quick. So Oleg is the name of the guy, and he has a second name which I can't remember. He's our lead villain. He's the head of this Cerberus unit.
Yeah.
And he messages you and says,
oh, yes,
I'm going to give you a chance to leave, because this is important, because this is the theme of him.
Yeah.
He says, I'm going to give you a chance. You're not making it through here. We've upgraded the defenses. This is your turn. This is your chance to turn back. You know, do it, or I'm going to blow 90% of your guys out the sky and we'll probably kill you. And then Arya's like, nah. bluffing, I got it. And you're like, and Shep is like, he seems pretty sure. And she's like, nah, it's fine. And then 10 seconds into the assault, you're like, Shepard is the one to bring it up, I think. Shepard is like, we have to bounce now.
We have to get into escape pods because the ship is being torn apart by the defenses of Omega.
Yeah.
And so everybody, so now it's like the entire crew that we've brought here splits up into escape pods and lands separately instead of all together on Omega. We all like kind of crash land in our escape pods onto different parts. From where we are, now it's our mission to go and like find everybody else and also like kill Cerberus along the way and make sure that we still have our army, right?
Yeah. You go.
I honestly like this. A lot of the like details of this are a blur because I could not. This is another one where I could not think to take notes because I was just
so in it,
locked the fuck in.
You go in. You hit up communications to like announce to the rest of your team that you're here. Arya, whilst you're doing this, you find that Cerberus have set up these force fields all around Omega. These force fields are extremely powerful. Anyone who walks into them who aren't like approved immediately set on fire. They're tough.
Yeah.
Arya announces to her whole, announces to the entire station. Announces to her crew. Oh, we are going to like reconvene at the headquarters. Headquarters are on D deck. Whilst announcing this, Shepard notices that there's a camera looking at her. And then because of that, there's a renegade option to shoot the camera. I shot the camera.
I did not.
On that, all of Cerberus is alerted. Oh, meet up on D-Deck because she's going there. Charge. And you all charge all the way there. There are some cool new robots. There are these robots that Cerberus have set up to specifically be able to go through the force fields. This very combat heavy DLC.
Oh, almost exclusively. And an intense combat that, like,
yeah,
gets more intense, especially towards the end. I've never been more stressed out playing a video game, I think. Maybe the end of Inquisition's DLC, not Trespasser, the tough one where you are in that fight right before you meet the old Inquisitor.
Oh, with the dragon?
With the dragon, but not the dragon. It's the one where you're in the ice thing. The one where I had that crazy moment where the Inquisitor went down.
And the thing keeps bringing, like, making these giant ice things.
And putting out the fires so that you can't,
you start taking tick damage. That one sucks.
Yeah.
Oh my God. What is that DLC called?
Jaws of Hakon. Jaws of Hakon. The end of Jaws of Hakon right before you fight the dragon.
This is like that. Captain Oleg, by the way, has this chess set, stupid fucking holographic chess set that he's playing.
Oh, I know.
So dumb.
Self-indulgent. good stupid villain bit.
Yeah. You know what I'd be doing it though? You know, I had a D&D character who had a chess set that they were playing whilst the fights were going on. And he was hot. And that character's when I realized that character's when I realized I was non-binary as well. Isn't that fun?
That's from your The Wolfman Yearbook Club character.
Yeah. Love Yearbook Club. Anyway. We find some cool stuff, like there is a Cerberus propaganda machine.
Yes.
Which I think is cool. You can like turn it on and it's like a holographic thing being like, it's all okay. Cerberus is here to help. And stuff like that. It's fun. Then we keep hearing about this gang called Talon. It is the last remaining Omega gang. It's the last bastion.
Hadn't heard about Talon before.
I don't think we have heard about Talon before. We may have.
I think we
Every single time they said the name, I was like, oh, I feel like I know that. But I kept attributing it to other media where I know Talon is a thing.
Cause I was like, so like somewhere along the way you find an injured Talon and you have the option to save him, and I did. Did you find that in Talon?
I didn't know.
Okay. Because if you save him, you revive him. And then when you get to the camp, eventually...
He thanks you.
He's there.
I did. I'm lying.
You did.
Only in Mass Effect 3.
Fascinating. I heard Talon and I was like, oh yeah, I know about them.
Yeah.
But I don't know why I thought that.
I know. I think there is a... It's not the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles because that's the foot. The Talon is something.
It's something. And I just was like, oh yeah, I know the Talon.
Yeah. On our way to D-Deck, we find one of the most exciting things. A cool, mysterious assassin in a cloak and a hood.
Yes.
Who turns out to be the first female Turian that we see. In the whole game.
And she's hot.
So fucking hot. Is confirmed in lesbian relationship with Arya.
Was in lesbian relationship with Arya.
How fucking cool is that?
But they are now... But also, we do not learn that about them. Although it's
so palpable fucking obvious
that they were their exes from the beginning. Because they are so... tense about each other, so bitter. Arya is shocked that she's here, and she reveals that she actually never left. She's just been here hiding in the vents the entire
specifically
time.
And
so they have a tense thing, but they're also very glad to see each other. It's a really, like, it's so clear that this is an ex issue. And then as we travel with them, we learn that they have their relationship was ended. So good. It's so good because their relationship ended. The more we learn about Arya, the more we learn that she is willing to sacrifice as many people as possible to take back Omega. And her girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, Nyreen. Really cares about the members of these gangs, like the people that make up these gangs, and thinks that they deserve personhood and like an autonomy and citizenship and like all things that they are denied and that lead them to the life that they live. And she thinks that they are the priority. And she reveals that through her time dating Arya, she became more like Arya. She became more callous and more willing to like sacrifice people in order to achieve her goals and things like that. And so she had to leave the relationship to be back to more like herself.
Yeah.
And so that's why they didn't work. Which is just delicious.
Yeah, it's great.
So
really cool.
Captivating. And then we see that as it plays out, as we move through this DLC, we see consistently the dichotomy between what the two of them are proposing we do in every scenario.
They are the Paragon and Renegade option.
They are. Yeah.
No, it's fucking cool. It's a great relationship.
Except you get almost no Paragon reacts. In fact, I don't think there is a single one.
Is a single Paragon reacts, but you have to be an engineer, and it is post the Renegade interact, which most Paragons are in a one specific part of the story.
Yeah. Everything else is Renegade, and it's, oh my God, sick. All right, so let's move through, because I want to get to the,
We get to Arya's, like, kind of HQ. You can go and you can, she gives you time, you can go and you can speak to people.
This infuriated me. I'm so disappointed in myself.
What? Oh, is there one thing about a guy who you're sad you didn't get a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's in the second bit, though, so we don't need to worry about this yet. Because in the first bit, you speak to two people. There's a hacker and there's an engineer.
Yeah.
Both of them need help.
Yeah.
You can agree to help them, which I did.
Yeah, I did.
You then speak to Arya, and Arya points out that all of these PowerPoints... points out stuff about the power... The force fields. But that fact that they're everywhere. So then we need And then we find out that the General Oleg, is set up in Afterlife, in Afterlife's main club, in Arya's words, to piss her off.
Yeah.
So, to be strong enough, we lost a lot of people getting in here, we need to grab Talon and get Talon to join us.
Yeah.
At this point, Nyrene has left. She leaves before we walk in. Oh, no,
They separate to because Arya is like, I need to give orders or whatever. And then we have a chance to talk to them both separately.
This is later. At this point, Bray, who is Arya's right hand, is asked to follow her. Literally, apparently, he said that he turned away for 2 seconds and she was gone. When he turned back. We then go to join Talon. Arya wants to do it through force. Shiv Shepherd agrees. It's the only way to get a gang member to listen to you, is you got to be forceful. And as you're fighting through all these Cerberus members and you get to Talon, lo and behold, who is the leader of Talon? It's Nyrene. She, because people were lost and scared and she was still on Omega, she decided these people need leadership. You go into the Talon main headquarters and in Arya's words, people are frustratingly loyal and like won't budge in their loyalty to Nyrene.
Yeah.
Because Arya's like, well, I'll just kill you if you don't say, if you don't like do what I say. And then Nyrene's like, do you think if you kill me, you're going to get out of here alive? And then Arya's like, it actually does seem like I'm going to die if I kill you in this. So I'll leave you alive for now.
Shepherd, Ani is like, calm down every fucking time that Arya speaks.
Yeah. Arya's fuming. Yeah.
Yeah. Arya's fuming. And Ani, it keeps taking the options to be like, are you going to listen or not? Like,
yeah.
And really like, no, she has a fucking point.
Yeah.
Like all of that, which I do not know how much of an impact this makes, but I do think it does. I haven't looked it up yet, and I don't want my heart broken that they didn't actually think about this, but it does seem like it made an impact later.
I actually will say, in terms of things making an impact, I hit a point where, because I was agreeing with Arya so much, and it was around this point that when I went into my menu, I got a notification that said, stress and anger will cause your scars to come back, and Shiv's scars from Aspect 2 are returning. There's like light peeking out from under her skin as she's re-getting those scars from being so renegade. Scary. It's scary. She's backsliding like crazy. That's in me. The back half of this game.
Okay, so maybe they did think about it. Yeah,
I think that's a Mass Effect 3 thing, but it did happen in this DLC for me. Was that she? I also do know that there's a lot of payoff for being Renegade Paragon that we will bring up later, because I know that something happened for you. Anyway, Arya says everyone still is united under her banner. She doesn't exactly say that, but I love a fucking house banner. A house banner is arguably one of my favorite tropes in something. Anyway. She gives a huge speech. Everyone on Omega. She asks every single civilian to fight against Cerberus. They are cheering. We can hear them cheering throughout these giant... First of all, also, Omega looks fucking awesome.
Omega looks fucking awesome.
So cool.
We tell civilians not to fight. We divert to protect them.
Do you tell them in the speech?
We don't tell them in the speech,
but you generally do.
We generally tell them, and her speech is to the gangs directly, not to the civilians of Omega.
Wow. There you go. That's already different.
Yeah.
Because she tells all the people to start rising up and fighting. And Nyrene brings up, hey, do you know how many people are going to die if we do this? And Arya's like, yeah, but it's going to get us to the top, and that's what matters. And Shiv is like, we're going to win the war, and that's what matters.
Totally different.
It's cool, Lou. Love a speech.
Great. Oh, great speech.
Tell you what, love Arya.
Oh, love Arya. Don't get me wrong. Love Arya and makes this so interesting.
You then fight your way back to the main zone.
Yeah.
Then this is part two of this. Two more missions to do. One is someone that just needs something. The other one is an Elcor. An Elcor turns up. We get to speak to an Elcor properly, and he's a shopkeep. He asks us to get the sofa that Arya used to sit on to win some favor. Dylan accepted the quest and didn't get the sofa. I couldn't tell.
I was so happy to have finally spoken to an Elcor in this fucking game. Where are my Elcor? I finally find an Elcor. He wants one thing from me.
You got another.
I searched. I was getting yelled at. I was getting told, look alive, Shepard, so many times. Shepard, could you stay on track? A million times, because I was searching high and fucking low for this goddamn sofa. The later into this DLC I got, I go, oh my God. I'm not fucking finding it. I was more stressed out about that than most of the fights. And I was looking and I was like, oh, I can't believe I'm fucking finishing this DLC and I'm not going to deliver this sofa.
You're not helping an Elcor.
I'm not. The one Elcor to speak to me.
Want something from you.
Yeah.
Disappointing.
Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald and I'm here to tell you about Dice Exploder. Podcast where each week me and a rotating co-host take one tabletop RPG mechanic, just one mechanic, and break it down as deep as we possibly can. If you love thinking about role-playing games and how they work, this is the show for you. Come listen to me talk to Alex Roberts about love and pity, John Harper about elegance and layout, and Mikey Ham about, what else? Exploding dice! It's an interview show, a review show, a design show, and most of all, a show for anyone who loves these games. Come on down and join us. Find Dice Exploder at DiceExploder.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Dylan,
disappointed phrase.
Disappointed phrase.
Disappointed.
I just wanted a sofa.
He just wanted a sofa.
Dylan, why did you do this to me? Sadly.
Sadly.
I guess I'll fuck myself.
Fuck.
We speak to Nyrene. Nyrene says that when Talon originally attacked all of Cerberus, the general said, hey, if you put down your weapons, we're not going to shoot at you. And the people who put down their weapons didn't get shot at. And she's like, the general has a pretty strict code. If he says something won't happen, it won't happen. Like, if he says, hey, if you do this, I won't shoot you, and you do that thing, he won't attack you at all. This is important because this is what happened when we were flying in. He said, I'm not going to shoot you if you turn around. And Arya's like, that's a fucking lie. Obviously, he's going to try to kill us. And we're also like, yeah, we're not going to do that. We're here now.
Yep.
Important little just bit of world that he's there. Turns out, this isn't necessarily, it turns out, Nyrene is a biotic, which is hyper rare in Turians. To the point where the Turians have a cabal, which is a very, very small group of Turians that have biotic ability. She is one of them. She realized that in this cabal, she's not going to be doing anything. So then she left. She bounced and she tried to strike out on her own. She did strike out on her own. And then she found Arya, who everyone listened to and respected. She wanted to be that. She got close to Arya. She essentially fully says that they were dating with just enough not saying full words for maybe some censors is what I'm getting from it.
It wasn't censored enough for me to be mad about it because it was so clear that they were dating.
It's so clear.
Because you have an option to be like, so you were close. And like,
yeah. Which is really cool. This is that. Truly, I think
this is the first time, except for the crew members on your ship who have a gay relationship. Your shuttle pilot's gay relationship. But this is the first, like, what feels like a big. Intentionally written, important seeming gay relationship.
The thing about Cortez. That this does have that doesn't is that we never meet the husband. He mentions it very casually, which I do love. But in this, it's like we meet both of them. They are both pretty important characters. And they're like, yes, we are gay and we are in a gay relationship.
Which, yeah.
We're in a gay relationship.
We're in a gay relationship.
And that's when she reveals, oh, I was turning. And the lesbians love that.
Oh, dear.
No, it's really cool. I love it. Also, this is a big fan theory. This is never confirmed. Arya has a child. That is confirmed. That Arya had a kid. The kid's died now.
Right.
In one of the comics. It is hugely believed that Nyrene is the mother to that kid. Because Asari don't care about gender. And Nyrene is the only person Arya cares about. I care about in that way. It's the only one they talk about to have any substantial relationship. And it's just believed pretty much almost outright said that Nyrene is the mother to that kid.
Yeah.
Which is cool. That means that they are gay, toxic mothers together. Delicious. We love that shit.
Mm-hmm.
So this next bit we're trying to get to Afterlife. And we're going to sneak through the areas. Oh, that's why I brought up the force fields earlier, because there's a bunch of the map that's out of power.
Yeah.
Because the force fields are soaking up so much power. So we're like, well, let's just get through the force fields, through the out of power zones, turn on the power, and then we're going to siphon all of the power away from the force fields. And then we can just walk up to Afterlife, right? Ooh. Everyone's like, it seems like a good plan. Nyrene is freaking out about something, but she doesn't tell us. It's a little bit of a horror section. We have one light turned on. I love it when it's entirely pink.
And we're crawling like through vents and like across pipes and stuff like that. It's deeply fucked up.
It turns out there is a thing called
the adjutant. Yeah. And those have been turning
people into these
monstrosities, similarly to like the Reapers kind of doing things like that. But then you do see them and they're horrible.
Yeah, they're disgusting. They are Cerberus Reapers in a weird
way.
Cerberus has taken Reaper tech and they are forcing these things.
Right. That they're just trying to copy what the Reapers do.
Really cool implications in that is that Cerberus have gone so far that they are just openly using Reaper tech.
Yeah,
that's really cool. Really love that. I do know that there's a comment if you gave the derelict Reaper vessel to the collector ship to the Elusive Man, there's a comment on like, oh, this is you did this because you gave the tech.
And I didn't.
We didn't do it.
Because fuck him.
But you go through these mines. There is this blue mind dust that you're picking up, which I was like, it's fun because it's lyrium. And there was red lyrium as well, because there is red sand and blue sand now. And I'm like, oh, it's fucking lyrium that they're using.
Yeah.
It's not, but it's close enough that I'm saying that it is.
I'm happy about it.
Yeah.
Renegade sand and paragon sand.
Exactly, yeah. You find a bunch of these guys. There's dead Cerberus everywhere because these freaks have just been mutilating, eating people. You turn on the power to the mine, and then as you're going through to the main zone, everyone gets trapped. You get trapped in these little force field barriers that you've been seeing all around.
Yeah,
you have to have this fight. The general turns up and is like, hey, so I'm just gonna keep you here and die, or you can stop fighting me and then just leave. Ira's like, fuck that, puts her hands through the force field. I really thought this was super cool.
Who did that?
Arya.
Arya. Yeah. I thought you said something else. And I was like, oh, did something different happen? No. Arya straight up puts her hands in and spreads that fucking force field's cheeks. and holds it while we now have to fight a fuck ton of these adjutants and Cerberus and all of the Cerberus related things that we've fought for forever. So we've got tons of things to fight. And as we're doing it, we then also have to disable shit around.
Oh, this is the force fields that we're trying to turn off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when we finally finish and we get like to the other side, so we get enough and kill our way through and we get to the other side, she holds it open enough for Shepard to go through alone, and her and Nyreen stay on the other side. And then you hear Nyreen be like, "How did you know you could do that?" And she goes, "I didn't."
Love her, crazy woman.
Yeah, because everybody else who's touched those forces
has immediately been immolated.
Yeah. She was just willing to do that.
Which
adds an interesting layer to her character, because as of now, we've definitely learned that she is willing to sacrifice other people's lives to get what she wants. Yeah. It is an interesting element to know that she is deeply willing to
sacrifice
her own to get what she wants, which is just like, it's not power hungry. It's not greed. It's something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's that weird third thing that is so fun, because it seems like she's like, as long as you die, because that's a big part of her. She's like, as long as Oleg dies, I don't fucking get how we do this.
Yeah.
And it's great. And it's fucking, it's cool. She's a cool character. She's really fun.
Quite.
You get to the control panel. You're going to hit power down, battery off. Then the general turns up again. Up. If you touch that, the power that turns off is currently supporting dozens of lives, because it's the life support of dozens of people throughout Omega. You turning this off is gonna kill all of them immediately. And there's a renegade option to
overload
immediately
them.
Hit it.
Yeah.
Or you can try to find another way.
Yeah. And this is so interesting, because you have Arya through your earpiece being like, yeah, just overload it. Overload it. We have to end this. You get the renegade option. You think maybe there's a different one coming. There's not. Another renegade option comes after he explains to you more. There's another. You can't get out of this. She is also telling you that. Another renegade option. Three of those. It happens three times. They give you that. With no Paragon reaction. And so it is just either you trust that this will work, or that.
And this is the bit where, if you are playing an engineer class, I think this is one of the very few, which changes it depending on what class you're playing. If you're playing an engineer, you get a Paragon to
That's
be able
awesome.
To be like, I actually know how to do this. And then you figure it out after the first renegade.
That's awesome.
So sick. I didn't see that, though. Not only because I'm not an engineer, but because I hit the power off.
You did it immediately.
I did it after the second. After the first one happened, and then the second one hit, and I was like, fuck it, we don't have time. And I shut down dozens of lives. The general looks sad. Doesn't look angry. He looks sad that dozens of people have just been executed. And then, in a really cool bit, the next scene, Arya brings it up. She's like, I can't believe, she was like, you waited too long. I'm glad you came to your senses. And then Nyreen isn't mad at you for hitting it. Is like, yeah, but she tried and thought there was another way and then had to do it this way.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's crazy.
I met with them and Arya was like, the fuck were you thinking?
So did you find another way?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah. You just stick it out and it works.
No way.
You just be patient and it completely works. He's fucking with you. It works it works entirely fine.
Mad.
Yeah. You just have to be patient and it just works.
Crazy.
And you fucking save everyone. And Nyreen is totally justified. And Arya is still totally pissed that we wasted time and that you know, like, I'm being too sentimental or whatever. But then Arya is like a little bit softened by that, because later on, I think, choices change.
Then you go through the final checkpoint of like a safe zone.
Yes.
You meet a lot with the Talons. The Mad Prophet from Mass Effect 2. I don't know if you remember the Mad Prophet from Mass Effect 2. when you go to do Morden's first mission, like picking up Morden, there's a mad prophet outside that zone who has two, maybe three people, and is spouting all the same stuff. Like, is like, oh, the humans are the scourge and all this. And
so I think these things are different because of the choices we made. Because in my safe zone, we're at war. Like, there are, I'm walking through it, but active battle is happening everywhere.
Did you not see the Mad Prophet at all?
I don't think I did.
Because my zone is pretty safe. Like, there like, are fights happening.
Yeah.
But it's not a, it's not fully safe.
It's possible. It's possible I just missed him.
Maybe.
But there is, like, it's like, a lot of people are screaming and like...
Not a huge amount of people are screaming.
Yeah, and like fighting and shit like
wow.
that. Yeah.
Well, the Mad Prophet's fun because there's like, instead of... In Mass Effect 2, he had 2 to 3 people around him. In this one, he has tens and tens and tens of people around him, and he's still spouting the same thing, but people are, like, cheering for him now.
Oh, that's funny. I definitely walked all around that place. He was not there. Yeah,
that's,
for sure. He was not there.
That's crazy. That's really cool. And then you have... This is the final confrontation.
The final
now.
Confrontation.
You sprint into the afterlife. Boy, it's good to be back. We're back in our in these halls that we know so well. We run in, Nyrene leaves again. It's just you and Arya fighting through.
Yeah.
You get to the front steps of Afterlife. There are these, they're the Reaper Cerberus things.
Horrifying. They're
everywhere.
Awful. And there's so many.
And then Nyrene comes out and is like doing some cool, like there's a cool cutscene where she's like executing a bunch of them. She then activates her a grenade belt with like tens of them. And then like warp fields around the grenades and them so they can't get out. And then contains this blast as she looks at Arya.
And kills herself.
Mm. Such a shame. Fucking cool character.
One of the best characters in anything.
Yeah.
excellent.
I really would have loved to see more of her. Yeah.
And then Arya is like, oh, bitch, hold on a second. And this is Arya being at the coolest I think I've ever seen a character.
Oh my God.
Because you're chasing now Arya through these halls. And you think, because you're not in a cutscene, you think you're still shooting. You can't do fucking anything. Because it's the second that you walk through any passageway or into any room, she kills everything around you and you get blown back. So, like, you are trying, like, you're trying to participate in the game. You can't participate in the game.
And it's really a, oh, this is the leader of Omega. Right
oh,
now.
This is the leader of Omega who just, her fucking girlfriend just,
yeah,
just killed herself for the cause. And it's this guy's fucking fault. She's going to get to him.
Yeah.
At any fucking cost. And she does this. You follow her. And in every room, every hallway, you try to shoot your gun. It doesn't even matter. She's already killed them.
Yeah.
And. Yeah, it's really cool. It's really stressful. Oh, it's so sick.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's the fucking it's fucking awesome. She then, in charging the captain, gets caught in a trap. It's then
oh yes, that's right.
Yeah.
She gets caught like drawn and quartered a little bit.
And then it's your time. You gotta like kill, you gotta like power it off. Every single time you hit like one of the like things that are holding her back, everything in the room dies because a tiny bit of her is getting let out. It's fucking
this cool. Part most stressed I've been in a video game ever.
Oh,
being alone in this room with the amount of evil that's in here, so many. There's so many, and you have to run from them. You have to try to kill them. They're so powerful.
Yeah.
And then you have to release her, and you have to, like shut down, their generators that are like holding this together. And you have to kill a million things and it's all by yourself and it sucks. It's crazy.
Loved it.
Oh my God. My heart was fucking racing. And then eventually you do free, if you can, you free Arya and then she joins you and then it's the two of you and then it's a little bit better.
Yeah.
And then you get it. And then once you've killed everything in the room, you can go back up and you can go into the room where Oleg is for the final,
the final confrontation. Which is one of my favorite tropes. He's just a fucking guy. She breaks open the doors and then immediately starts strangling him. He can't fucking do anything.
She says, what does she say? She says, do you feel that? You are. So now, this is what I'm curious if this is different.
Yeah.
Because she strangles him.
Yeah.
She says, do you feel that? No input from me whatsoever. She says, you're inches away from death. I'm not doing that.
Crazy.
Really? It's different?
Yeah.
I don't do anything to stop this. Amazing. She just says, I'm not going to do that. You're going to listen to Shepard. You're going to do what she says, essentially.
Wow.
And is like, and walks away and is like, but I want you to know that I can.
That's fucking awesome.
What happens for you? I was hoping because I was like, you know what? I've played this so Paragon. I've played Nyreem's side so much throughout all of this.
Yeah.
It feels like she's making this decision to honor Nyreem a little bit. Like, yeah.
She goes full rage mode, is still strangling. You get a Paragon option to, like, save her, but I looked this up. If Arya is on this path and you stop her at any point, she is furious with you, still helps you, but is not your friend in any way. Is like we are full enemies.
That's some Dragon Age shit right there. Oh, real big Dragon Age vibes,
you know,
baby.
You what's fucking crazy? This felt the most Dragon Age.
This did.
It felt so because there's.
I felt like what I said and did mattered.
Yeah.
So much in this.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I, for the record, didn't do a Paragon. I just watched
you
her.
Let her.
I just watched her choke this guy out, and I was like, "This guy's fucking got it coming to him." I am not getting in the way of this.
Yeah.
I need an army to kill the Reapers. If I stop her killing this one Cerberus guy, I don't give a fuck about Cerberus. If I stop her doing this and she doesn't give me the army, then I'm completely fucked.
Yeah.
And the world is fucked.
Fun part, after she lets him go, she goes, you can take him, Shepard. And I get an option to
kill him,
do a renegade. And I was like, you know what? Let me take the first one just to see. And the first one, you put the gun to his head and you're like, you fuck with us on this, you betray us on this, you better fucking believe it's done. And he's like, what, you're going to just execute me? And then there's a second renegade, and I didn't take that one. And she was like, no, just wanted you to know.
That's fucking crazy.
Like, so I took just that little, after a whole Paragon run of this, I just took that one little bit of renegade just to put the fear of God into him.
He has a moment when Arya's choking him and the Paragon is going, where he starts pleading with Arya and then turns to you and is like, well, you're not going to let her you're not going to let her do this, like, as he's choking. And then the longer you wait, he's like, please don't let this happen. Like, and then I'm just like, I just watch him. And then she does, you know, the Arya embrace eternity thing. Liara embrace eternity thing.
Yeah.
Her eyes go black as she's choking him and then he dies. She like fucking explodes his mind, basically.
Hot.
It's fucking sick.
Wow.
And then you've taken back Omega. Arya, for me, does a supervillain speech.
Oh, she does a very nice, like, good, like, we are fucking in this together.
Does do a bit of that, she's like, I mean, it ends, I imagine Arya ends the same with her saying, don't fuck with Omega.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's
fucking
and
awesome.
And it's long. All of this was such a long, hefty DLC. And I really felt so good about it. Truly, my one complaint is that I think that someone connected to Shepard would have opened up for the writers to do some really juicy ass shit to make your relationship to whoever you brought mirror like what was going on with them, to like play with that parallel, to like give Shepard a little bit of an identity crisis, like kind of like, whereas like you're not just a bystander in their relationship, you're also like kind of
fighting your own
thing. Like, I think that could have been really, really good. That would have made it aces, but it is like wall to wall. Great fucking DLC.
Oh, it's cool. I love it. I think it's so fucking good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, really thought it was the coolest shit ever.
Oh, it was good.
That was good. And it's one that I've never done. And it's one that is surprisingly pretty universally hated. People hate this DLC. As I was Googling it, people are like, so this is the worst one, right?
I'm sorry.
It's crazy.
Who?
Literally Google it. People hate this DLC.
Mass Effect fans, you don't understand what you have. Do you know that you have all of the resources that Dragon Age
should have had?
Like, you siphon, like, that Mass Effect has siphoned all of Dragon Age's resources for several games now, and you don't appreciate the moments that you are given?
It's fucking awesome.
That's crazy to learn.
Yeah, it's the coolest shit. I loved this DLC. I thought it was so, so fun. Kind of made me feel a bit sick. I liked it so much.
I did too.
And next week, we're leaving Omega. We're going back to the far reaches. We are doing a priority Geth Dread.
Oh, we're going, yes.
And
good, good, good.
Because I took a little bit away from it a few weeks ago. I know it was literally a conversation, but I am adding a tiny bit. Also adding in the side mission Geth Fighter Squadrons as well.
Okay, fun.
So we are doing priority
two Geth things.
This is a break in the Geth Quarian conflict. So we are back to the Geth Quarian conflict.
Yeah.
Learning a lot about it. Tally's back with us.
Gang, I didn't do the quest. Last week I said that, it's grayed out, but I didn't do it. Named a different thing.
This was
so
me.
I went, I did it, I spoke to Tally. Tally's on the ship now. It's fine.
That was
me. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's named a thing and I'm going through the list, I thought it was a longer mission.
No. It's so fine. I have her now.
Yeah.
We're good.
That's Mass Effect, baby. I know what I want to... I know what I want to close it to be.
Okay.
I kind of want it to be Don't Fuck With Omega because it's cool and that's Arius. You like that?
It's good. Before we do that, though...
Yeah, good.
I keep wanting to bring this up in every episode for the last, 3 to 4 weeks. Have you seen... our captain get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
What?
Captain Anderson. Actor.
Keith David.
Got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
That's my fucking guy.
And I would like you to hold this, please. Because I would like to show you the cutest thing that you're ever going to see in your fucking life. And do want... this will be probably cut from the podcast, but I will show it to to the YouTubers.
That's a man who knows how to wear pants.
That's a man. I'm gonna break the fucking heart. I can't wait. Anyway, congratulations to Keith David.
Congratulations to Keith David. Holy shit.
For that shit. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. I keep wanting to bring it up, and then I keep forgetting.
Yeah, that's so fucking cute.
Yeah.
Follow-up question. Tinkerbell fans.
Follow-up question.
Tinkerbell fans. Follow-up question. How are Arnie feeling? I talked a lot about Shiv today, because this was big, going back to gang stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I feel Shiv really hit a point in this. I want to know how Arnie's feeling, because I don't think we've talked about it a lot.
Because Arnie is now... Ani's traumatized by the idea that she can't save everyone. So she is saving everyone that she can.
I think she feels guilt about the self-sacrifice that Nairine did.
I think that it is... it's not guilt. I think it is... she would have done that, 2 years ago?
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
She gets it.
Sure. Nice.
But now there's too much at stake. We actually, if she had been given a moment, she would have told Nairine not to. She'd have been like, no, we need you fucking too. We can we need Like, it is, we need all hands. We need everyone.
Sure.
Wow. But yeah, but she gets it.
Huge. Cool. Fascinating. Well, that's what I wanted to ask.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Don't fuck with Omega?
Yeah.
On three?
On three.
1, 2.
Don't fuck with Omega.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.